following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Just another commercial, but you're going to want to listen to this one because I met the AIS guys. They actually came over to my other shop, Mark and Susan. They're nice. They liked my cars. I said, good, insure them, please. So you want to, they sell car insurance, but it's done with a little bit of a twist. They do a smart quote technology, compares the rates and coverages of lots of insurance companies. Then you pick your price. Doesn't get any simpler than that. AIS saves its customers an average of $640 when you switch. Insurance rates are rising fast. You have to compare to save. Best ways to let AIS do the shopping for you. So why not? Give them a call at 800-777-4AIS. Or you just go online at AISinsurance.com/Adam and say hi to Mark and Susan for me.
And welcome to Corolla Classics for Sunday, September 22nd, 2019. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is the show where we're going to highlight the greatest moments of the Adam Carolla Show. It's been a great weekend so far. Let's continue it. So we ended yesterday's episode with the story of Adam's street fight. Well, the actual guy called into the radio show and
the
talked
dude
to Adam about
people in need of bets.
Yeah, that guy. What happened, Gio?
On the very next day, during Outbook August, on the KLSX Adam Carolla Show from September 13th, 2006, they get a phone call from Terry, who basically confirms everything, and went a little something like this.
Mike?
Rock on, Carolla.
Mike August. And let me tell you something. 10 grand to Mike August is like 500 grand to you and me. You understand? This is a man that can't afford socks. This is a man who, when he was house-sitting for his brother-in-law, for his sister, he wore his brother-in-law's shoes during that week.
Despicable.
I knew, because Mike doesn't wear socks, and Mike wears the most... He wears the gay clog shoes. He wore a periwinkle plastic gardening clog over to Kimmel's on the...
Periwinkle blues.
What? On the holiest of all football Sundays, he's wearing periwinkle gay clogging gardening sandals. Or it was a slap in the face. It was nothing short of an attack. But the point is, I remember commenting. I said, you know, Mike, finally a pair of shoes on you that I like. And he said, well, these are my brother-in-law's. I said, what happened to your shoes? I'm not going to put miles on them.
Yeah.
Wearing another man's shoes. Point is, imagine how far 10 grand goes to a guy who doesn't buy socks and only buys generic cookies.
Yeah, that's his big move every Sunday. You know, there's generally a big feast at the, you know, people making these big Italian feasts.
And right, you bring
people
something.
Spend time and effort to bring stuff in, pastries and everything. August brings in a crappy plastic thing of cookies, the cheapest thing you could buy, probably about 69 cents for two dozen. Brings them in, and as an added bonus, by the time he gets there, the box is half eaten.
Yes.
He opens it and eats them.
Mr. Fields.
Ugh. He swings by the Vandy Camp thrift store on the way in, and then polishes off half his horrible cookies on the way over in his brother-in-law's shoes or at the Periwinkle Gardening Club. What's going on?
Kyle, phone screen of Kyle just instant messaged me. He said a caller wants to bring in Slipknot into
the band
into San Diego to play maybe and or spin records for us or DJ our show.
Ooh,
now, those guys are scary. Yes. I've met the Slipknotters. I think I've met them before. I think I met them on Loveline. Fine. Step in the right direction. But I don't think they're going to take the rock over. Now, coming in, now, if they come in and gut a lamb or something and then wear it on their heads and one of them has sex with Teresa, like Leatherface has sex with Teresa in front of a cheering crowd, was pouring beer on his back and yelling go.
That's how I roll, generally.
If that's true, then we might have something.
What's it going to take to get you into my pants?
Speaking of bookers, hold on a second.
I knew the Slipknot. Huh?
Mike August, because yes, the Rock is at the top. I happen to know that my boxing trainer is good friends with Denzel Washington, too.
Ooh.
And I feel like if I put a little bug in his ear, he'd get Denzel in here and gladly
take that 10
grand.
If you win your own money, that'd be something.
Well,
yeah.
I should say this quickly.
It won't be me.
No.
It won't be me. I decided I will be giving it away, but I can give it away to a listener or a friend.
A woman that works here stopped me in the hall, and she said, oh, can you put this story in the news? Sharon Stone has a screening she's doing for charity. And I said, better yet, why don't you have Sharon Stone call in and make 10 grand? So
speaking of celebrities, the guy who hit me with a baseball bat, the guy was talking about
Terry Mosier
yesterday, when I got in a street fight with a guy and I got a beer bottle broken on me and a guy hit me with a bat, is on the phone. Terry,
this is the guy who hit you with the bat.
Terry,
what,
you're calling from Paris, France?
I'm in Paris right now.
Wow.
What's
hit to flee the country.
Yes, he knew. Old Hoffer still looking for him.
I found out it was you. I ran.
So please tell the story and tell me if I'm lying or exaggerating.
Well, Tiffany called me.
Mm-hmm, old girlfriend.
What's going on? And no, she's not an ex-girlfriend. We used to work together.
Ah, okay.
And she knew me like in a whole nother life from that.
Right, this is not the globe-trotting Terry Mosier. This is the bat-wielding Terry Mosier.
Terry, you hit him in his bad knee. He had had surgery on that knee, which you knew, and you hit him there.
No, I didn't know he had bad. I didn't even know him.
Yeah. No,
we didn't know each other. We were at a party. It was on Laurel Terrace.
Right.
But you did take a bat to his knee,
on
party.
I did hit him with a bat.
Why?
Why did you do that?
He was beating my, you know what, I have no idea, but he was beating my boy's ass, and I, there was a bat in the back of a truck, and I said, I got to put a stop to it.
Aluminum or wood?
I don't even remember.
Who threw the bottle that broke on me?
You know, I don't remember a bottle.
No.
I remember you guys come back to the party, though, later on, and rush the party.
Yeah, that was Ray and Chris. Now, do you remember Ray getting you in a headlock at another party a year later and dragging you over to me in the bathroom?
I thought you were in a closet making out with a girl.
It was the bathroom.
I was in the bathroom making out with the girl. And Ray got,
and you're like, hey, don't worry about it. It's cool. That was a Zam's New Year's Eve party.
Yep, I'm Gad Abu Zam's New Year's Eve party.
No, but wait a second.
Yes.
Corolla contends, Terry, that you begged for mercy. You begged, he said. Please spare me.
I was scared.
Save me, please.
I don't remember a headlock, though, either. I think your boy came over and said something like, he said, hey, we got, like, some business to take care of. And I was nervous because I was, like, me and two other guys, and you had, like, seven guys.
Yeah, he grabbed you. Well, he at least got you by the collar and dragged you over to the bathroom.
You might remember it better than me because I was nervous.
I remember he had a hold of you when I opened the bathroom door eventually. It was the most macho moment of my life. I just got done making out with a chick in the bathroom, only to be interrupted by the guy attacking me with the bat.
It was cool, and you're like, it's all right, it was years ago. And you shut the door or something like that and went back to business.
But Terry, did you ever make the connection later that guy from the bathroom, the guy that hit with the bat, was Adam Carolla from TV and radio?
I found out this morning when Tiffany called.
Wow. Who knows what other celebrities you hit with a bat?
I can guarantee you were the only celebrity I've hit with a bat.
Well, the part of the story that you probably don't remember or maybe never knew is when I was talking to your scary Mexican friend on the stairs, whoever that guy was, he was buff. Who was the guy who got in the fight with?
He ended up licking.
Oh, Ruben Perez. I think he's in jail.
Oh,
wow.
Well, what do you do now that you're in France?
I'm a pilot.
Oh.
Yeah, well, we go different paths.
You licked a jailbird. That's fantastic.
Well, he was on his way to prison.
I know, but that's quite a feather
in
your cap.
This Ruben fellow, what did he go in for?
My guess is drugs, because he was selling drugs or something back then. And
he was a scary guy.
Well, in his defense, he was only like 5'2".
Yeah, but he was buff.
Wait a second. He was 5'2". That detail escaped me.
No, he was not 5'2".
I think you definitely had a reach on him. I know that.
Was he Brusca or higher?
He was a stout man. You got to admit the guy.
He's a stocky guy, but you had the reach on him.
All right, I used my reach, but he was the one who was begging me to fight. And he told me he was going to break my other knee. That's what he.
All right, Terry. If he's in the joint, remember. Is this Ruben more likely to be the rapey or the rapist in jail?
The what?
Is he going to be a top or bottom?
He's getting raped.
Oh,
oh
really?
It sounded much better if he were a multiple murderer and Corolla licked him before he went into the joint.
He's not in there for tax evasion. I'll tell you that right now.
No, he's not there for tax evasion.
And then who was the black guy?
Oh, Ray Stansbury.
Ray, he was a tough guy, too.
He's bad. You're lucky it wasn't him. You would have been dropped.
I got into it with him after you guys all piled on me and gave me a bloody lip.
Yeah, he's bad.
Yeah, I know. I told you. That guy was like a kung fu expert.
But you held your
something.
Own, right, Corolla?
Yeah.
Terry, where's Ray?
You know what the craziest part was? I don't even know if you were at that second part when everybody rushed back at the party, and we were all scrambling to get out of there, and I got cornered, and I grabbed a butter knife out of the kitchen and started waving around like, I'm not kidding.
That's right. And my buddy Chris grabbed it from me and broke it.
It could have been. That ran like crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Butter knife.
Yeah.
Where's Scary Ray?
That was the first thing I could grab.
the Scary Ray gentleman, where did he end up?
The brother.
In and out of jail.
In and out of jail, too. So two of the three people you were in a fight with have been imprisoned.
Well, yeah, except for Terry. Though Terry I never really got in a fight with. He just hit me with a bat while I was yelling at his other buddy who's now in prison to get back and fight some more.
Some of us are wiser than others.
All right. Well, I'll see you in hell, Terry. Listen, you're a pilot now? You're a private pilot?
Yeah.
I think you owe me a free ride somewhere.
Yeah. First class.
I really do.
I might be able to hook you up.
And we got to work this out because seriously, look at it this way. You dodged a bullet. I could have sued you. I could have taken you to court.
Yep.
You attacked me with a baseball bat. You know, Evel Knievel did that to a reporter and he ended up in the joint. All I'm saying is no repercussions.
Hey, you were good about it. I got to say, you're a stand-up guy, you know, years later you let it slide.
All right, Terry, get back to the Eiffel Tower or whatever it is you're doing over there. What time is it in France right now?
It is 5:44.
5:44. All right. Enjoy. Good talking to you. I don't know why, but somehow all is forgiven.
Closure.
So, thank you very much, and good luck with your legs.
Thank you.
Terry tells us, apparently, that Corolla used to to beat up midgets.
Oh, please. You heard it. The two guys, both in the joint.
Two of them are in and out. One's in and out.
I'm just trying to make myself bit.
All right, let's see. Ray?
Hey, Ace. I didn't know the guy was a Mexican midget, eh?
Oh.
It's a lucid story now.
I told you he was stocky.
Yeah,
but by the way,
I didn't know he was as wide as he was tall.
But listen. Mexicans are not a rangy breed. You know, you say Mexican, you got to think 5'7", 5'8". You don't think 6'8", 6'9". How many Mexicans
like
are in the NBA?
Of wildlife. You're right.
The point is both guys in the joint. That's cred. That's street cred right there.
Yeah. I agree.
Absolutely.
All right. And he
should put out a rap album with that.
He corroborates the story about the knife breakage and the hitting with the bat and Ray with the headlock. These are not made up. They're just as I told them.
Corolla,
I think you made his future, Ace. I mean, he's a pilot kind of indirectly because of you. You let him slide on everything. You could have made his life miserable.
That's right. I could have pressed charges. Put him on hold.
Where is Ray calling from?
Press charges. Nowhere you'd want to be. Yeah.
The zookeeper put a phone line through the bars.
He's with the girlfriend that he hid from me.
I could have pressed charges against Terry Mosier, sent him to juvie, gets caught up with the wrong group. Next thing you know, he gets a neck tat. He can't be employed, and he's strung out on meth.
His fate was changed in that one moment that Ray brought him to you, and you said, no, turn him loose.
Yes, I showed mercy because I have a heart the size of Tad's head, and I had a boner the size of a table leg, and I was ready to move forward with life.
So he owes his career as a pilot to your boner.
That's right. We will, important lesson has been learned. All right, so Outbook August continues. Again, The Rock, the leader in the clubhouse, but there's 10 grand on the line. I would hate to give it to Mike August. I really would.
Horrible.
Somebody, step up. you can win 500 just for this week if you can outdo The Rock. We'll take a quick break.
When we come back, which weighs more with Kobayashi? And people want to play against you, Adam. Which weighs more, Ted or various large items? They can win a nice prize. Big Wolfgang Puck Festival, $150 worth prize of a food festival. Tickets for that or a robot vacuum. They should call in, 866-901-ADAM. And we'll talk to Kobayashi and play Which Weighs More.
I don't know. I don't trust a robot vacuum. I've seen enough movies about the future to realize all of a sudden they get infused with a little artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. Then the next thing you know, I'm arguing with the vacuum. Come on, get those dust bunnies. You get them, Adam.
What?
Why don't you ask Lynette? Why'd you bring my wife into this? We've been enjoying each other's company. You're effing my wife! And then we go at it. me and the robot vacuum.
Hold you at gunpoint.
We'll take a quick break. Where are my important tax documents? I sucked those up a long time ago, Adam. Give them back. Come get them. Oh, yes. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Tomorrow, the Adam Carolla Show is hitting the road. We're live in San Diego, 6 p.m. at the Wave House in Mission Beach with Tony Hawk.
He is the innovator of so many different tricks.
David Alan Greer.
Bring it on, baby.
Surfer Anastasia Ashley. And San Diego Charger, Sean Merriman.
Sean Merriman again coming around the corner, and he has been a monster so far.
Plus the free FM freebie girls and a ton of strippers.
Yay!
Even the deaf frat guy will be there.
Delta Foo.
Recruiting new pledges for Delta Foo.
You may have to get your stomach pumped.
And a San Diego Ass Kiss Rodeo Championship. So brush up, brown nose. You could win $1,000.
Brought to you by Playboy TV and Spice On Demand. Call your cable provider to get it today.
Tomorrow in San Diego. After that, we're coming to your city. Thanks to Miller Lite. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
You know, one thing that is good about morning radio, not the morning part, but the part where you say to some lackey, hey, a guy attacked me with a baseball bat 21 years ago. See if you can find him. Well, we found him. He's in France. All right, well, have him call in. What a time we're living in.
I make fun of you beating up the midget, but I'll tell you, you knocked out not one, but two jailbirds on the same night. Kudos to you, Carolla.
The second guy I had trouble with. I didn't knock him out.
No.
I was having
just
trouble
the same.
With him.
Tangling at all with jailbirds.
Well, it's true. And look, he was calling the guy short. He was, but he was as wide as he was tall, and it was muscle. That can be scary. Listen, Mike Tyson, not a tall man. Right. Yes?
Yes. Scrappy.
Scrappy, though.
But he was taller than 5'2".
He was exaggerating. Kobayashi?
Hello, Adam Carolla. How are you?
Good to talk to you. Drunk with power.
And that was Terry Mosier calling in and confirming everything. All right, this next clip is a listener request. And a reminder, if you want to write in and request a clip, email us, classics@adamcarolla.com. Tweet us at Giovanni Giorgio, at Chris Loxamana. Let us know what you want to hear. Instagram us, Facebook us, whatever.
Find Chris on Grindr.
Find me on Grindr. Good luck. You got to be within a 20-mile radius. I'm in Kentucky right now. All right. This is a listener request from John. He writes, hi there. Love the show. Can you please play the Adam and Joe Coy clip where they go to the sushi restaurant? I believe Andy Daly was a guest on that episode as well. It's my wife's favorite clip.
We've actually played a portion before. It's the episode with Andy Daly. It's Adam Carolla Show 1625. This is just the portion with Joe Coy, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. They're doing the regular P.F. Chang's bit, which they've changed up a few times. This is the exact one he's requesting. It's also a partial request from Victoria from yesterday. So it's John and Victoria. Hope you guys enjoy it.
Good to see you again, Joe, and very, very good timing for us because
what's going on?
Well, when I said this fella, friend of Stern's, wanted to go out for lunch, said
before he crushed his dreams.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I said,
so there's no way to succeed in podcasting.
I said, why don't we go to this little sushi joint that's by me?
Was the same one Skip and Allison were talking about?
Yes.
Why?
Because
it's supposed to be really good.
It's really good, and I knew Joe Coy was coming in, and it's the waitress is so mean because it's what do you call it? Omakase. Kamikaze. Amakase.
Joe, do you know about the, you know what omakase is?
I have no idea.
Okay. Like,
explain.
I might be getting it wrong, but as I understand it, it's a very limited menu. The chef often brings you, just sends things out.
Oh, okay.
You sort of at the chef's whim. No rolls, no California rolls. It's very authentic.
They have a picture of a California roll. It has an extra. So there's a, like... Yeah.
They're taking a stand.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, they should open a brothel. Big picture of a pussy, extra. Like, yeah. I know this is what you want.
What
not going to get any.
Yeah.
So
the chef will bring stuff
they
out
do
for
the,
you.
And they do the. God forbid you ask for something to be cut up.
Mm-hmm.
You have to eat it like you're chugging a seaweed cock.
The hand roll.
Like,
you have to
hold the whole. It's uncomfortable. Like, there's a reason.
Sushi cone.
There you go. Just hold it with two hands, Mr. Carolla.
Can I say this, Ms. Waitress?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm Italian.
Okay.
And we have ravioli.
Ah, yes. So mm-hmm. good. So mm-hmm. good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When we order ravioli, mm-hmm. we get many raviolis, not one huge pillow-sized ravioli we can wrestle with. You see what I'm saying?
I understand.
We like it cut up so we can eat it one piece at a time versus...
Oh, like a Chef Boyardee.
Well, no, obviously my people make better ravioli than that, but the point...
Like a dumpling.
Like what?
You want a dumpling.
Not a dumpling. Dumpling?
Dumpering.
Dumpering?
Yes, you want the dumpering.
No, I'm not going to dump...
We can get dumpering for you.
No. What I'm saying...
Size of foot.
What I'm saying is it is a seaweed microphone that you're handing me that I have to devour like a snow cone filled with fish.
It is. Yeah. It's like it's a sushi cone.
Then when you dip it in, it all falls out of the thing.
Don't dip.
Cut it up. Can I have it cut up, please?
No, you cannot.
Okay.
You're thinking of a different kind of sushi.
Yeah, the kind I
like
want.
Like a gas station.
The kind you... No.
You're used to gas station like 7-Eleven.
Where?
You
where?
Like 7-Eleven. This
seven,
not 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven?
This not a 7-Eleven.
Oh, 7-Eleven. No.
Yeah, the sushi
no. No,
this is real, authentic sushi.
Okay, can I ask you something?
It will cost you.
Oh, okay. I'll put
on tap right now.
Okay.
Ask
well, no, I...
1495.
Okay.
Go ahead,
what,
Mr. Carrara.
What state are we living in?
This is California.
California. Mm-hmm. All right. There's a roll named after the very state we live in.
I would like
some of those cut up. Please.
Unfortunately, not here, sir.
We California roll, please.
Never heard.
One
more time, I will punch you in your mouth.
I know you have rice, you yes. have avocado,
uh-huh.
you have everything you need to make an avocado
imitation
roll.
Crab, yes.
Yes, yes, I would like that. That's
we will
what
not
I would
put
like.
All three together.
All right, I'm sorry. My boy
sorry.
Is. Okay, I'm okay.
Sorry, Mr.
Okay,
Carrara.
I'm sorry. We've gotten off on the wrong foot.
You want ravioli.
I don't want ravioli. What?
That wrong restaurant. You want Olive Garden.
Olive Garden?
Yes.
No. No, no.
Yeah, that's where you go.
No, no. We come here to enjoy your
no
sushi.
No California roll here.
Okay,
sir.
All right. You know, my son likes the cucumber roll.
Oh, cucumber.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Very delicious roll.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can we have that?
Before. No, not here.
No, okay.
Unfortunately, no.
Okay, but you have cucumbers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And we have rice and a seaweed.
Right,
just
right.
don't like to put all three
okay,
together.
Okay, don't put the three together. Okay. Can I say this?
Uh-huh.
Please. My boy likes the chicken teriyaki bowl.
Ooh,
yeah, he likes the teriyaki. Mm, and
very
he likes,
good.
Yeah, with like the, you know, the tempura.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, tempura. He likes it.
Deep
like
fried.
Yeah, deep fried tempura.
So
yeah, it's uh-huh. really good. Like, especially when they do,
yeah, uh-huh.
you guys do like a yam slice and you deep fry it in the tempura. Yeah, yeah that's
so
delicious.
My mouth is watering right
yeah,
now,
me
I should
too.
Describe.
So, have an order of that then, please?
No, that's Panda Express. You're very bottom of the barrel, sir.
This is
top-notch gourmet sushi.
Okay, well, all right, so can I have the teriyaki for my boy?
Yeah, at Panda Express.
Okay, not
go
here.
Go to mall,
yeah,
and you can have all the teriyaki you can have. Just
this
not
is,
so this
sorry. Sounds like Joe's
this is, it seems like you're being a little condescending here.
No, not at all.
I feel like you're speaking
oh,
down to
I'm
me.
I'm so sorry.
Now it feels like you're really speaking. This is uncomfortable.
Oh, you cry?
No, I'm not
now
crying.
Now you know how we feel.
No. Listen.
Uh-huh.
You make rolls, right?
Oh, lots of rolls.
All right, you have a knife back there, right?
Oh, like what, ginsu, any kind of knife,
okay.
samurai, any knife is back there.
Can I ask that you cut my roll-ups into smaller pieces so that I can use your chopsticks to put them in the...
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I just don't feel like there's anything I'm getting here.
What are you not getting? But tell me one more time, Mr.
Cora. Could I have a Coca-Cola?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I didn't want
to
cook.
Pour into your hand.
No.
Yeah. Pour into your hand.
You guys don't allow glasses
no
in there?
No glass here. There's no glass in real authentic sushi.
Really?
Restaurant.
Is it that authentic? Yeah.
Very authentic. Pour into hand, drink out of hand.
You know, maybe if I get a roll and take it home, I can cut it up. Let me take something.
Unfortunately,
take a bunch
we do
of
not have it to go. You have to eat right here. Everything must be consumed before you leave premises.
But if I already paid for it and it hasn't arrived yet, then obviously it's my property. And I'd like to take...
kind of, not the really.
Well, if, I think my...
You're still inside our property.
I'm not an attorney, but by California roll law... I should be able to bring that back because I paid for it.
Kinda not really.
Not really?
Nah, we have a thief in the room here.
I can't take it home?
You can't leave.
I can do what?
You cannot leave.
I can't leave.
Unless you finish all the sushi you order. But, that is a disrespectful to the sushi
people. But what if I'm full or I over-ordered?
I don't give a two shits. You shouldn't.
You know what? You're using language now.
Eyes are bigger than stomach, Mr. Corora.
Yeah, well,
speaking of
eyes.
You're not going to leave unless you eat all the sushi you order.
Okay,
that is how we do here.
You know, this is going to be reflected in your tip. What he say?
My manager said, you leave. We cut your dick off.
Oh, hold on.
And make that Adam Carolla roll.
Oh. I thought you didn't use knives back there. Ask your manager. You tell him I'm a pretty big celebrity.
And your name is one more time.
Okay. It's Adam Carolla. I think you...
Adam the Carolla. Like, the car.
Yes.
You invent the
spelled
car.
Different. I'm in a little show called Catch a Contractor.
Never heard of that.
It's show. On cable. Ooh. It's a cable.
Oh, yeah. So it's not really a celebrity.
No, it is. No, it's real. No, it's real. You sound like my grandmother.
The cable.
Look, I don't have to be
a big star.
I don't have to be Jimmy Kimmel on ABC in order to get all the respect in this town. You know?
Yeah. All right,
now listen to me.
Look at the Wall of Fame we have here.
Oh God!
All the celebrities we have here.
Jesus
on the,
Christ!
On the wall.
You got Mark Spitz up there.
Mark Spitz, you know, very
Letterman,
good.
Leno,
Letterman, and Reno,
Carson. Now, this has been open for a while.
Look at that.
Yeah, Jimmy came by here
Jimmy,
and put
it. He's a very good guy. Big tipper.
Big good guy.
Big tipper.
Right. Okay. So
Jimmy
Kimmel. All right. So let me give you an example.
Now, here's celebrity.
Yeah. Like, we're both celebrities as well.
Unfortunately, you are not celebrity.
Well, no. Listen to me.
You're just a stranger from off the street.
No, I'm on the Spike Network. Okay.
You are the funny guy.
Yeah, I am. That's my job.
Okay.
It's Spike.
It's a Spike.
Okay. Spike. It's called Spike.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. We do some Catch a Contractor.
Get to the country.
Yeah.
Let me write that down.
Catch a Contractor.
Okay.
It's on Spike. Yeah, you understood? Understood.
Okay.
Ask your manager. I bet your manager's heard of me. Ask him if he's heard of me. I'm sure he's heard of me.
Spike the TV. Oh, he's a rabbit. He's
laughing.
Spike the TV. You are a funny guy.
Well, yeah, that's my point.
In my country, we call you Crown.
Crown?
Crown. Do you know jungle?
Oh, clown. Clown. Like royalty. Like crown.
Oh,
like crown.
No, not to you.
Like crown royal. Like the scotch. Yeah, the whiskey.
Now, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay. Would you take my word for the celebrity part, please?
No.
Okay, all right. You know, just pretend I'm a pretending.
You have to be.
I'm a paying
customer.
You have
to be a celebrity. Mm-hmm. To be a celebrity. It's a very easy math. One but the celebrity equal celebrity. You are not celebrity equaling not celebrity.
Understood.
The reason why no picture on the wall.
Yeah, okay. Now, let me just say this. I
do you
see
know
a picture.
Jimmy Kimmel?
I do.
Can you get the autograph for me?
Yeah, I could if you play your cards right. Okay?
Okay.
So now, listen. I see you have Pat Sajak on there.
Pat Sajak. Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah. Come on. Now, Claude Akins is on there. Now, come on.
Isaac from a Rough Boat.
Yeah, okay. Now, he's not even employed right now. I have a headshot. He points, at the beginning. Yeah, from the bar. From the bar. From the Lido.
Captain Stubing.
See, I know you have everyone.
We got the Hutch.
I have
Hutch.
Starsky and Hutch.
Starsky and Hutch.
Okay. I have
and the other brown guy from Chips.
Oh, the other black guy from Chips?
No, Brown.
Eric Estrada.
No, the brown one. The one no one really gives two shits about.
Larry Wilcox?
Yeah.
The blonde guy. Okay, the blonde guy. Larry Wilcox.
No, he's a celebrity. Right.
There's a lot of pictures up there. Yes. A lot of these guys aren't even in the business anymore.
Yeah?
Okay, I have my headshots in the trunk of my car.
Mm.
I could bring one out.
No.
I could I could sign it. What's your manager's name? Ask your manager if he wants a headshot.
Okay, one more.
What is
your name one more time? I just want to be sure.
It's Adam Carolla.
Okay, one more. Okay, all right. It's Spike TV. It's Serenity. It's Andy the Catarora. It's a...
Is that a yes?
No.
No?
He have no idea.
He doesn't at all.
He's a crying rabbit. He doesn't ever even see him grabbing
his ball. He knows Larry.
Okay, listen to.
Hold on. He's a fan of Larry Wilcox.
He loves Larry Wilcox. He goes golfing all the time.
He loves Larry. He doesn't love me.
No, he
this is so. Come on now.
$114, please.
Hold on.
You have to finish your food before.
Okay, hold on. See the red guy. There's the red-headed guy. Yes. He played Murph from the Union 76 commercial. Yes. He's prominently
right
displayed
there.
On that wall.
Right there.
I think he's been dead for over 20 years.
But he used to sit right there.
Oh, for Christ's sake, the Maytag repairman guy's up there.
Oh, God. We bought a refrigerator from him.
Okay.
Nice guy.
Me and Jimmy Kimmel are, you know, he's doing ABC, and I'm on a prominent,
ABC,
you know,
that's a channel, yes.
Right, just like Spike is.
But,
we've gone separate ways.
What a mistake that was.
Yeah, okay. You know what? I didn't come in here to be
just
ridiculed.
Just for that, I charge you extra.
No, I didn't even get to take my food home.
You have to pay for your mistake. I'm funny too.
Yeah, you're not funny. You're not a clown.
Aurora.
All right, I want California roll.
Oh.
I want a spicy tuna roll. I want it cut up with no smelt eggs.
Okay.
My boy over here, who, by the way, you're traumatizing because he worships me. You understand that?
Yeah, he has no idea who you are.
No, he knows who I am.
Okay,
I'm a celebrity first and his father second. Oh. Ask him.
Okay.
Now, I don't even know your name.
Mm-hmm. Osakoto Uso.
What? You know what? I'm going to write this down because somebody's getting a letter.
Okay.
Spell it.
Osakato Okusa.
Okay.
Osakato Okusa.
That's your first name?
That is the first name.
All right, what's your last name? Okay. I hope it's Brown or Jackson. It's going to be a lot easier.
All right. Sharpen your pencil.
Okay. Go ahead.
It's a Hiro Kutukusu.
All right, so when I come here on your day off and I speak to the owner and I tell him the Osaka Tatuk haircut. Shit. Well, I'm going to lay that.
I'll tell my dad you are coming.
Oh, your dad owns it? Oh, shit.
You're really fucked up.
Yeah.
He's proud.
All right. Could I just get a regular iced tea, please?
That's a $14.95.
For the regular iced tea?
Yes, you have to drink before you pay.
I gotta drink it and then pay. But I have to finish the whole thing?
You finish whole thing with ice.
My boy wants a root beer. Do you have root beer?
No.
Do you have Dr. Pepper?
No.
Mr. Pibb?
No.
He likes Sprite?
No.
Oh, all right. Then 7-Up.
Ramen. Ramen juice.
What juice?
Yeah, ramen.
Ramen?
Yes, the broth of a ramen.
Ramen broth?
Ramen in the broth.
No, he wants Sprite, not salty brine.
No, neighborhood.
With seaweed floating in it. Ramen. Ramen.
Ramen.
Ramen. I'm sorry. I don't care if it's your dad. What's your name again?
It's a... How do you spell it?
O-S-S-T-A-K-T-U-M-E-L-M-N-O-B. Now, wait a minute. You're making that name up now with the L-M-N-O-P.
That is authentic Japanese.
That is such... You know what? Tell your manager I want to speak to him right now.
One more second. Even the Mexican people are rapping.
You tell one of those Mexicans I want to talk to him. You have Mexicans, doing your dishes?
That dishes and everything else.
Wow. All right, just give me some California roll. To go.
Okay, absolutely not.
And see.
So you went for sushi.
That was fun.
That was fun.
Don't cry, everybody.
Gary and Dawson are crying their eyes out.
I'm crying my eyes out.
That was fun.
I love it when you talk to your manager.
Was the word haircut in there somewhere as part of your name?
Just words coming to my mind.
Now, do you know your name?
I don't know my name. I don't even know what I said. Osaka Tokuwa. Hiroshitomo wa. Osaka Tokuwa.
And Joe Coy can do it all, Gio.
The man's so hilarious. He never stops making me laugh. I love his comedy. I love everything about him.
Yeah, same here. And just a really... genuinely nice guy. Like, just a good-hearted soul.
Agreed.
He's one of the good ones. All right, this next clip is a clip request from Shannon. And she writes, you guys have talked about how you love when Adam genuinely cracks up on the show. And I'll stop there. Of course we do. I mean, Adam, we've talked about this before. Adam's cackle is
it's one of
the greatest sounds in the world, right?
We've been conditioned to really appreciate it as well, I think, because of... our proximity to him, where it's like, oh, he's cackling, everything's good. But other than that, before I ever met Adam, his laughter was infectious, and it's one of my favorite parts of being a listener to his programs.
Yeah, just a great sound. It makes me warm inside. They call it, out here in Kentucky, the Kentucky hug. when you drink bourbon and it warms your insides, and that's what Adam's cackle does. Yeah. All right. Shannon goes on to write, this is one of the best examples of that. I absolutely love the guests, Barry Martyr and Beth Kennedy, doing a bit from his book/live show, Letters from a Nut. I laughed until I cried, and so did Adam. I'd love to hear that again. Thanks, Shannon. Well, Shannon, we love hearing that too, and Gio got the clip for you.
She was pretty good with the date information too. I found it right away. Adam Carolla Show 2087, featuring Barry Martyr, Beth Kennedy, Gina Grant, and Brian Bishop. June of 2017. It was a little something like this.
Barry Martyr is here. Beth Kennedy is here as well. Letters from a Nut is the name of the play. It starts Wednesday, June 28th. That will be opening nights at the Geffen Playhouse, and it's at the Audrey Skirball Kennis Theater. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And I'll give you a website, by the way. You can get tickets at the website. Just go to geffenplayhouse.org. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a little more about that and us. But first, welcome. And so we'll talk about the origins of the letters and how it came about.
You want me to explain how?
Sure.
These were all, in 1994, I was sitting there with my lady friend, Phyllis Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
And just mindlessly, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning, she was watching TV on one chair, and I was sitting there mindlessly eating a bag of Fritos.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how you read on the side of the bags and things that said, you know, you got any problems, you want to have any questions, you know, why don't you write Fritos? And I thought, well, who would write Fritos?
I think that every single time I see one of those things where they go, tweet us, and it's like, you're the gas company.
Right,
like,
right.
Shoot us a tweet. I'm like, about what?
Sure, you're letting this gas.
Got your pamphlets. What would you say to the gas company?
They do it with movies and stuff, everything. And I'm like, why would I tweet to Guardians of the Galaxy? I'll just go watch it or something.
Well, this was in 1994, and I thought, she wasn't listening to me. She was kind of watching television, and I was thinking, what would I say to Fritos? Would I describe what the product really is and like I was a moron and go, well, everything was crunchy and they were curled and, right. And they got the orange on me and stuff like that. And, so I thought, okay. So then the next day I thought I was at the 99-cent store and I was looking at some Bon Ami.
Bon Ami, the powder.
You remember Bon Ami.
Yeah, it's funny. You got to be old because when I told I told my assistant, pick up some cleanser. And he went, what do we cleanse what? And I said, cleanser. And he said, to cleanse what? I said,
Neutrogena.
Buy cleanser. And he said, to cleanse what? What are we cleansing? I said, there's a product called cleanser. It's I did not know that. Like, okay.
So I looked at the Bon Ami, and on the side of the Bon Ami, the guy had his stamp on there, and it said, you got any questions? You got any problems? Right to Bon Ami, and he had stamped it. It was smudgy. It was like Gordon Brewcar IV or Gordon Brewman III. And, so I actually started writing to Bon Ami.
Mm-hmm.
And asking them what was going on with this guy's name. Are you the Gordon Brewhart IV? And he wrote me back. He actually wrote me back. And he was excited. I mean, who's writing a starch company in Kansas City? And we got into a whole weird world of him writing back. And, he was reaching out. He was crying out. I think he was, he was the fourth of these Gordon Brewhart people.
He was a lifeline.
And, I was like a life coach to this man.
So. Then Seinfeld went over to your house and he found all the letters and he said you needed to publish them?
Well, I had been working for Jerry since – I've known Jerry for ages, but I had been writing the stand-up on Seinfeld with him.
Right.
In 90 – I think it was like 90 or 89 when the show first started. We were into the fourth episode. And I was reading him these things, he was on the phone. He would call me and I would say to him, hey, I just got a letter from the Prince of Wales, Prince Phillips. I had told him that I enjoyed his salad recipe that I had read in one of these British movies. He didn't even have a recipe, but he wrote me back and he said, well, the Prince thanks you very much. He's very, because what does this guy have to do? He's just showing up places and he really has nothing to do. Someone's writing him now.
Right.
It's not about the Queen. It's not about any, it's about hey, someone's talking to me.
Right.
So I was reading them a thing, and then, Jerry, they were shooting the Seinfeld show at Radford, which was on Laurel, and I was living not too far from there, and he would come over. He liked to watch that Jerry Lewis telethon right at the end where Jerry gets maudlin and collapses. That was his favorite part of the telethon. He was rushing like a madman to get over there.
Right.
So he came over, and I had about 12 of these letters on the coffee table, and he was picking them up, and he was laughing. And he said, I got to take these to my agent. And, so he took them to his agent. And I said, hey, agent, I hadn't heard the word agent in show business in 7 years at this point,
Right.
And that's what started it off right there.
And then Letters from a Nut was published in the first book, 97.
97 was the first book. He went on, I think at that time, Jay Leno and Larry King, and he promoted the book.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of birthed naturally. People thought, because he wrote the introduction to the book, which was explaining how everything happened. So people kind of thought it was Jerry Seinfeld that was the true author of these things. And this went on for 12, 15 years, many books. And it became, some kind of a weird thing that they were convinced it was him.
So Beth Kennedy.
Yeah.
sorry for ignoring you. The table.
Oh, thanks, clappers.
You're in the play as well. Now, will you be playing sort of the person that receives Barry's information or calls or letters or what have you?
I'm Prince Philip. I'm the Bon Ami guy. I'm Frito's customer service, whoever Barry wrote to. And there were like 9 books or something. So he's compiled it into about 32 or so letters. So
did you
get to do about 32 different characters.
Oh my God. And did you guys bring in a letter?
Yes.
Or an example?
Yes, we
from,
did.
The book and the play?
We did.
Okay.
Did you want to get to that or do you want to blow the whole interview out in 10 minutes?
I thought it'd be sort of fun to hear one.
You want to hear one now?
Yeah.
All right. We will read you one.
You can set it up. Tell us whatever we need to know about it.
So anyway, we've got thousands of these things. So, I mean, it consumed me. It became a sickness. I'm on Flovazoid, I think, for this. But this one was from an email exchange. And in the emails, the letters back then were hard letters, so they would write one or two letters. But in the emails, they go on and on because it's much easier to do this. So I wrote to the Bali Elephant Safari Park Lodge, which is in Indonesia. And this is a pretty good example. Dear Bali Elephant Safari Park Lodge, hello. I am interested in a room for 4 nights, your finest suite. You are recommended in the leaf community. I will teach a leaf blowing class in the room. There will be 14 leaf blowing men's in my room with full leaf machines. That includes enhanced neighbor noise machines. I am their instructor and will teach them how to blow leaves around. There is noise, but if someone calls from the front desk, we can hear the phone. Is Otto still at the front desk? He wore sandals and had a bad nail. I look forward to a relaxing stay. Do you have leaf bag vending machines? Respectfully, Ted L. Nancy.
Dear Ted, thank you for your email and your interest to stay at our lodge. Allow me to inform you that most people coming and stay at our accommodation is looking for privacy. Therefore, we could not guarantee you to use in any practice of leaf blower at our property. We may provide you a place which is far from the property for your purpose, but again, it will depend on the size of your machine. I would really suggest you to stay and relax at the Elephant Safari Park Lodge, which most people do in their purpose. I hope you will understand that some condition cannot be applied at our property. Regards, Arafine.
Dear Bali Elephant Safari Park Lodge, thank you for getting back to me in such a professional and prompt manner. I noted it on a banner and put it up in our meeting room. Professionalism in emails is extremely important these days with the lack of civility and the LOLs and smiley face symbols. Your email showed a true sophistication not seen since the 1930s. It has been noted and shown to our leaf master. Now, down to our booking. We will have 14 leaf men and myself and our leaf leader. Should that be 5 rooms and 3-door room, or would you suggest 8 rooms or 12 and a half rooms? Do you have elephant taxis? Elephant chauffeur service from my room. What about tuna sandwiches? Our last day of leaf blowing lessons will include a parade with our leaf marching band. This is a full parade of all 14 leaf blowers going at full speed with all machines blowing at once. Noise up to 16. Is that a problem to your other guests? We also have a drummer and a cymbal dasher. Do you have seltzer? I like a nice spritz in my face at night to relax. I always enjoy it. What is next? I would like to give you a credit card and confirm this booking. Thank you.
Dear Nancy, we are working for you now. Soon answer, Arafine.
Hello, Kang Chok Elephant Place. I am interested in having our leaf blower wedding at your hotel, August 10th through the 20th. This is a full wedding party of 36 leaf blowers and their brides. We would like all the leaf blowers, each on one elephant blowing leaves as they ride on the elephant. That's 36 elephants. Who can I speak to regarding the wedding elephant leaf blowing package? I understand you also have elephant yoga. How do I bend an elephant? Thank you. Ted L. Nancy.
Dear Nancy, we're so sorry, sir. Kok Chang Safari is the place to do elephant trekking, sir. We not hotel or cannot take elephant out of safari. We have only 8 elephants, so I think not enough for you need. Sorry for any inconvenience. Kind regards, Tony.
Hello, Kok Chang Elephant Place. How delightful to receive your email. Now let us figure out everything. Here's my idea. You have 8 elephants. We have 36 leaf blowers. What about 4 leaf blowers on each elephant blowing leaves? That is 32 leaf blowers, which leave 4 left. So we put 1 more leaf blower on 4 elephants. No rooms. We put tents up, like a leaf blower camp with porta potties for the 19 days we are there. Bad smell? Febreze. All fixed. We really want the wedding there. How much we can pay? Thank you for your courteous reply, Ted L. Nancy.
Keep going?
Yes.
Dear Nancy.
We'll go for hours on
that. How long does it go? It's funny as shit.
We're almost done.
Okay.
Dear Nancy, sorry for a late reply. I'm talking with the manager and I have an opinion about your wedding. It is the event that good idea. We need to go along, but we have only 8 elephants, 7 female and 1 baby elephant. So one reason they make us cannot join because our elephant cannot take to outside. We got a travel register. Only elephant trekking at the jungle can't take to another place. Do you need to come to do elephant ride at the safari? But even thought our elephant still not enough for your bridesmaid. And one more reason, only 2 person can sit on 1 elephant because elephant can get away not over 180 kilograms. Normally have many wedding couple come to do elephant trekking and come to have a wedding picture with elephant. We charge more a little bit from normal price because wedding picture are difficult for control elephant, more normal elephant trekking. So money we need, but we must to get many possibility check. We sorry that we can't do elephant, can't go outside. Kind regards, Tani.
I need your page six. She has two page sixes.
Oh.
You're I'm done. Almost done.
You write a letter to yourself.
You want to hear more? We got 15 pages. No.
Yeah, if you're almost done.
We're
sure.
Just one more. Hello, Kang Chalk Elephant Rides. So nice to hear from you. Read your email of June 17th. It was clear, concise, and easy to understand. What about this? You have 8 elephants. We have 36 leaf blowers, and the bride equals 37. Can you put some of your peoples in elephant costumes, too? Who will know? And then our peoples can ride on top as long as we get everybody on top of something. This is an important third marriage. Respectfully, Ted O'Nancy.
No further reply.
And that was it.
Oh, I love it.
So they go on.
It is. It's in. Well, you know, it's interesting because I used to do a show called Crank Yankers for me and Jimmy did for Comedy Central. And we found that if you called a deli in New York, you got almost no traction because everyone was in a crazy rush. Move, move, move. Yeah, no time for your nonsense. But if you called Barrow, Alaska, whoever picked up the phone, you talked for 40 minutes.
Right.
Kevin Nealon called Alaska because he had compass buddies. And he was looking for his furthest northern compass buddy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And he told this guy to be calling back every day at like noon to check in with his compass buddy. And the guy's like, I'll be here. You got to find it, Gary. I don't know why. It always struck me. It wasn't the funniest. It was like the most telling.
Sincere.
Like, the people that are at home at noon in Alaska got nothing but time and actually is enjoying having a conversation with Kevin Nealon about being his compass buddy. It's insane how these people engage and keep going, right?
They will keep going. They're bored. They have nothing to do. It's like they're not expecting somebody to write a crank letter or a crank phone call.
Right.
They're just trying to get a booking.
Do you consider your biggest get? Did you get Al Gore to write
you back? We did get Al Gore.
Oh, we did?
When he was the vice president.
Wow. Throw his name out.
We got Al Gore.
I had no idea.
We got him early on, and he wrote back. I think I told him he looked like Sylvester Stallone. This was who, by the way, is so pumped up and veiny, his face looks like MapQuest now. It's just too many veins on there.
It's true. And he wrote back.
He did write back. We've gotten a lot of dignitaries, you know, from the presidents of Greenland and Iceland and
Czech Republic. Vaclav Havel.
Vaclav Havel, who was the president. We wanted him to be he's the president of the Czechoslovakia. Wanted him to run our vacuum cleaning club.
In Thousand Oaks,
and we actually got
the treasurer.
The treasurer, and they write back. We actually got a letter. We have no.
No, he wasn't. I mean,
we are swamped here with Czechoslovakian matters, and but considering it.
This is Gary found Nealon calling his buddy in Alaska.
Good afternoon, Pull Tap.
Hey there, is this Barrow, Alaska?
No, this is Native Village of Barrow, Pull Tap.
Oh, it's right up there, though. That is awesome. I'm calling from the lower 48. And my name's Ken, and this is very exciting. How's it going up there?
We're fine up here.
Oh, that's great. Hey, I want to ask you something. This is very exciting for me because this will complete my compass buddy list.
I don't know what you're talking about.
There it is.
I have a Compass Society of America, and all I need is just for you to say yes, you'll be my compass buddy from the north. And then my circle is completed. What is your name?
This is Alice.
Okay, Alice. Well, I'm gonna have you for my North Compass buddy then, and are you facing north now or is it south?
We're at top of the world, Barrow, Alaska.
Oh, that is so exciting! That is so exciting. Okay, well, since you're gonna be my compass buddy, maybe you could just repeat after me the compass buddy pledge. Okay, you ready? It's very short. North, south, east, west.
North, south, east, west.
Right. I will always pledge to do my best.
I will always pledge to do my best.
South, east, west, north.
South, east, west, north.
I will always pledge to journey forth.
I will always pledge to journey forth.
All right. Great. Nice. Okay. I forgot that's where you got that drop. I forgot that was a compass. I know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, my God.
People love this stuff. They love it.
It's insane. And, yeah, you would never think that these people would communicate or write back or whatever.
Or read back pledges.
Read back pledges.
And that was Barry Martyr and Beth Kennedy
reading from Letters from a Nut. They come. Barry goes on to come in again with Patrick Warburton, and they
Kyatt Doak.
Kyatt Doak. That's right. They do it again, and we'll play
my
that
favorite refreshing beverage.
Let's get going with some more clips. But first, I want to remind everybody, if you haven't already, please rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts. It really means a lot. And thanks to everybody who's done it already. We enjoy reading the reviews and hearing what you think of this particular program.
We're narcissists.
Yeah, we are. I print them all out and laminate them and hang them all over my house.
Why do you laminate them?
Oh, I have a very wet house. All right.
Waterloo.
Waterloo.
Chris laminates his reviews. Waterloo.
Laminate all of my reviews. All right. This next clip. Oh, I'm excited. Nick Offerman. Good friend of Adam. We've been to
beginning
a
of the bromance.
Yeah. What a great bromance. He came on in 2009. Back in the
Adam Carolla Show 311, almost a test pilot for Ace in the House, but not really. It's a regular episode with an interview, lots of carpentry talk, some callers, which is kind of like Ace in the House, including a one caller who's very fun, and Adam has some fun with her. It's in this clip from Adam Carolla Show 311 before the format swap, featuring Nick Offerman, April of 2009, his ACS debut. Check it out.
I was working as a carpenter like you, just doing cabinet jobs for people. And I had a buddy who had a cabinet shop in Chatsworth, pretty much across the street from Spahn Ranch, where Manson used to hang out. And this back in the day where there wasn't that much going on in Chatsworth. It wasn't that developed. And this was it. He had the very last unit at the very end of an industrial complex on Owens Mouth next to the train tracks in the middle of nowhere. It was like scary and dark, and there's a lot of open fields and, you know, unseemly types wandering around. And the problem is if I was doing my own gig, I could only use the cabinet shop from the time he stopped using it till 8 a.m. or 6 a.m. the next morning. So I would go in there alone at, you know, 8 o'clock at night. I'd back my truck up in it. I'd lock myself in, essentially. Inevitably, I'd beat off at some point, but I never told him that. Look, if it was going to be from the time the streetlights came on to the time they went off, you know, it was a lonely period of my life. And I would work there alone. I'd pay him like $50, and I just worked there alone all night doing my jobs.
Sure.
So my jobs, I'd be doing at 2 in the morning. And it's so weird being in the back of an industrial park in Chatsworth. Something weird about doing that kind of work at like 3 a.m. You're not drunk or anything. It just doesn't feel
right. It's surreal. And somewhere else in that park, someone else is beating off.
Oh, I felt the vibes. Yeah. I think that's what reminded me to do it. I was like, oh, yeah. My spidey sense was tingling. So I had this fucking horrible thing where I needed to drill a hole in like a cabinet that I was making that was like an inch and a quarter wide. I just needed, and if I didn't drill that hole, I had to stop for that night. So I said, all right, let me go find the drill. I had an inch and a quarter paddle bit, one of those flat bits. And I went looking around, and God damn it, the drills, the cordless drill, the half-inch drill motor was all in his truck. He was off doing another job. I didn't bring it in my truck because I figured he had it there. Right. And how was I going to drill this hole without a drill? Well, I thought, well, what if I take this bit, which is about 6.5 inches long, and it has a... By the way, the thing's about 3/16 thick, the stem on the thing, and I'll put it in a router. And I'll put it in a router, and I'll use the router to drill this hole. So I put it in the router, fit in the chuck. It was a little bit loose. I tightened it up as much as I could, and then I held the router. It was upside down, just sort of right in front of my face, and I turned the router on. And this thing went from vertical to helicopter blade in about a revolution and a half. Because, again, these things don't warm up. It's just on or off, and when they're on big time. And I just stood there holding the router, seeing this helicopter blade going around. Like, if it would have flown off, it would have stuck in my eye or my throat or something. It's like, ha, ha, ha! And, again, like you, I wasn't going to chuck the router because, you know, it was probably a, you know, Delta or...
it's a day's work, you know.
Yeah, it was a day's work for this Porter cable. It was probably a $140 router. I'm not going to chuck it. the thing flies off, there's a decent chance it'll miss me. It's this pointed thing. I mean, it literally, those bits have just a spade tip on them that would go right through your neck. And things are spinning around. I'm just staring at it. And I think I unplugged. I think I pulled the plug. And the bit was just bent over.
Oh, my God.
But it stayed in the chuck. And I had that, like, the thing you have when you get in a near motorcycle accident. Like, I mean, really, I couldn't beat off for, like, another 20 minutes. I was that that profoundly disturbed by it. Then I thought, all right, you must respect the router.
Yeah.
Do not fuck around with a router, and do not put a drill bit in a router.
No, that's a good cautionary tale.
They should put a fucking sticker on that thing that says no drill bits, because I can't be the first asshole who said, well, the thing turns around. Why not put a drill bit in it?
That's the great thing about working in a shop is you're always problem solving. You're like, well, this drill won't reach. This won't drill around a corner. Well, I have this tiny router. You know, it's you're bound to try it at some point.
Right. And I did. And, yeah, on one end of the spectrum, you're doing your finger joints and your dovetails and all your mortise and your tenon, your dados and your rabbets and, like, and laying up your laminate work. And like when I worked at the Euro cabinet shop, the stuff would come, it was Cortron or melamine, it would come pre-laminated. So you'd get the boards and they already had the vinyl on it. Then you just put it up on a saw and rip it up, run it through an edge bander, and everything got put together. Butt joint with something called Conformat screws. Time saver, special bit, special screw, strong, but took all the artistry out of it. Yeah. It's all that IKEA, Euro shit. It's all just fast and cheap and meant to be slapped together. And it's no good for guys like you, because if they got an estimate for my shop, we'd do your whole kitchen for $1,400.
Right.
Whereas you're doing finger joints on every drawer. No way you can compete with that, right?
No, but Los Angeles is a great community for that, because there's a lot of people who want a special piece. You know, one of the things I love about my piece is that it's not like our new disposable society where people change their furniture and their silverware like they change their socks. You know,
right.
They're like, well, spring is in the air. It's time for a new bathroom.
Right.
And I like making stuff that'll last for 300 years and that, you know, somebody's grandkid will get. But here there's people who can afford that kind
of
workmanship.
And what kind of furniture do you make?
Well, I try to do something different with each client to further my education. Mm-hmm. So often people will say, just because of my specialized work, they'll say, I would really like to get a piece from you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go over to their house and say, okay, well, you know, they'd say, I'd like a dining room table or a bed or a chest of drawers. And I'll look around and say, okay, what if we do a chest of drawers here and we'll do a shaker piece, you know, and I'll sketch it out.
How about that sex chair from Star 80?
That, yeah, I've done that in a few different... I've done
that out.
Mahogany.
Put it in the kids' room.
Zebra wood.
So now you say clients.
Mm-hmm.
You're gainfully employed.
I am.
Your wife has a ton of FU money. You guys aren't hurting.
No.
But yet... even though you're doing parks and recreation and you guys are going gangbusters, you still work. I mean, you still work. You have clients who commission you.
Yeah.
Like an artist.
It's, well, you know, growing up in this farm family was such a rewarding childhood. You know, we never had a lot of bread, but our lives were so rich because we always had the satisfaction of doing all this work with our hands, and we always felt really good at the end of the day because we had busted our asses, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And going into the arts as I did, I immediately felt the vacuum of that satisfaction where I was like, after a couple of years of theater school, I began to feel emasculated, you know.
Yeah.
And so my furniture shop keeps me attached to the people in my family and allows me to still feel like, you know, you're powerless working on a TV show. There's hundreds of people inputting in the work, and you're not going to see the results of your work for a while. Whereas in your shop, you're the boss. At the end of the day, you can look at this table you've built, you know.
It's tangible.
Yeah.
And there, it's something that wasn't there before. And if you'd never been born, it would never be there.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it'll get passed around, and long after you're gone, it'll be there for somebody else to use. And there's something very physical and sort of satisfying about it. And then the other side is you're writing jokes and you're rehearsing and you're doing a bunch of stuff, but it just goes up into the ether. It's always just gone when you're done. I mean, thank God somebody films it, but even then it still basically ends up essentially gone, whereas you redo your kitchen or someone else's and you have a daily relationship with that. I think we got some building calls if you want to try that.
It's taking on.
All right, let's see. Cement floor. Let's just hop to line one. Hey, Harry?
Yeah, this is Harry.
Yeah, by the way, he's going by the code name of Harry C Word, which is... I decided with all the, you know, sort of Dick Gozinia and Harry Paratestes, now that we live in a society where people say he called him the N-word or he called him the C-word or he called him the F-word, we're doing all that I realize there's a whole new group of joke names.
Yes.
And I actually had someone page someone at an airport or a casino named Harry C-word. Works nicely. Thanks, Harry. What's going on?
What are you talking about?
All right. Go ahead.
Well played.
I'm going to hang up on you if you don't have a question.
I got this dish into my garage, a real old garage that I knocked down, and the floor that's left under it is like these masonry blocks just all laid down and cemented together. Mm-hmm. It's not level, but I want to use it as a patio. Mm-hmm. How do I level that out?
You're going to have to skim over it with something. You're not going to be able to get under it and level it out. You're going to have to go over the top of it with some sort of cementuous product.
It's better than just breaking it out, just busting it out and then cementing again.
Well, there's two ways you can go with these kinds of things. You can go rent a jackhammer, jack the whole thing out, get one of those like low boy dumpsters, fill it up, form it up, put down, you know, some rebar or some screen and pour another slab. Or if what's there is sort of good enough to work as a sort of substrate, you can pour something over it. They have lightweight stuff. They have colored stuff. They have stuff you can stamp. There's all kinds of businesses. It's not that thick. It'll add about an inch and a half or so to the overall height of the thing. They'll clean it real good. They'll scuff it up and they'll do it. But it's kind of not a... it's not a homeowner type product. It's the kind of thing that you'd probably farm out. They'll charge you per square foot. They have stuff that looks pretty good. They can stamp it. They can color it. There's a bunch of companies that do it.
Awesome.
All right, Harry. You sound over the moon about it.
I wanted to say to Nick there that I like the old fancy pan shredder basket. I think I might get me one.
Oh, thank you. That's one of my finer products.
Thank you, Harry C-word. Somebody's got a question about indoor-outdoor materials.
I never would have spotted that.
Harry C-word?
Yeah.
I made it up. That's why. That's the only way I was able to spot it. I was so delighted with myself when I came up with Harry C-word.
It's very good.
Arizona airport at age 43.
It's a modern-day Noel. It's like a modern-day Noel Coward.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking more Will Rogers, but yeah. Hey, what name is that? Theria? Theria?
Hi, Adam.
Hey, what's your name?
Theria.
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 Oh, what's happening, Theria?
I'm so nervous to talk to you. I would like to hook up a tankless water heater.
Yeah.
Every time I call somebody to get an estimate on how much to do it, they over the phone just tell me, about $2,500. And,
yeah.
It's got to be easier than that, but...
Well,
should I go gas or electric?
Okay, here's the thing. You have an existing water heater that has a tank, right?
Correct, gas.
It's gas, so you should go gas because you have gas running to your existing.
Okay.
So meaning if anyone who wants to go tankless needs to realize that they're going to base their gas versus electric versus based on what's existing. So if you have an electric water heater right now, then stay with the electric because it's probably going to be a bitch to run a gas line over there. But if you already have the gas line there, then by all means, use the gas line. It's really not that hard to hook up, especially for a lesbian from the Bay Area.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't have any problems. I mean, I'm sure you already have like an acetylene torch and you know how to sweat pipes, right?
I used to do mufflers in my teens.
All right, yeah. So you know your way around a torch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you a lesbian?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I can hear it in your voice.
Just blow out the scented candle before you get to work.
Before you fire up that acetylene torch. All right, so you definitely know how to handle a torch, right?
Correct.
Sweating pipes is really easy. Do you know how to do that?
No.
Here's how you sweat a copper pipe. You can go to Home Depot and get any kind of fitting under the sun. Reducers, sleeves, 90s, 45s. I mean, you can get, it's cheap, it's easy. And it'll fit together like a glove. So all that shit is just basic. And the tools are real easy. So you cut it. You can cut the copper pipe with a copper pipe cutter, which is this weird C-shaped clamp that goes over it that has a little blade on it. And as you tighten this one knob and turn it around the thing, you keep tightening and turning. It's sort of like, you know that little device you use to get the foil off the top of your wine bottle? It's kind of...
No, but I know what a pipe
Well, is. I know. You drink out of a box. But when you go out with your lady friend for an anniversary... Right?
Okay. Yeah.
The point is this. It's real easy. You go to Home Depot, and for about $25, you can get all the tools you need. You get the wire bottle brush for inside the fitting. Here's the thing. Fittings need to be super clean. You take a wire brush, and you just go right inside of them. Then you'll get another piece of, like, emery cloth, and you'll clean the female and male side out. Now, don't just focus on the female side.
Okay.
And that was Nick Offerman on The Adam Carolla Show, which could have been a precursor to what Ace on the House is, because Nick is an incredible woodworker and a hilarious dude. I mean, those guys are so good together. He even offered his wood shop to Adam when Adam filmed Roadhard. So when you watch Roadhard and you see the carpentry shop in there, that is actually Nick Offerman's wood shop.
He truly is an offer man.
Yeah. That was the funniest thing you've ever said. Thank you.
He returns to the podcast and goes on to guest on the Ace on the House with the Ray episode, with actually taped live from Nick's woodshop. It's a great episode of Ace on the House. It will put you to sleep if you're tired, but if you're interested and really want to pay attention to it, I watched like 4 times.
Yeah, you can find that on YouTube.
It's great.
All right. We have one more clip, and we're going back to the radio days. Everyone loves these radio clips, and so do I. This is from 2008, and Adam tells a Super Bowl story.
Yeah, this is a KLSX Adam Carolla Show from February 4th, 2008. During Teresa's news, Adam's just riffing about what he did during the Super Bowl because he missed the halftime show and all the stories she's saying. And he keeps dropping these more and more outlandish events of what took place while he was drunk at Kimmel's house. And it is hilarious. Check it out.
Then, of course, former American Idol winner Jordan Sparks sang the national anthem.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed?
You know what would be awesome?
What?
Get hold of her. Pay her $5 million. To yell goldenpalace.com out as many times as she could before security tackled her.
During the national anthem.
That's no crime.
What about slipping it in like subliminally?
Right. You were so goldenpalace.com.
I hardly know.
In the offshore account. Yeah, I'm not sure she could pull that off, but it would be funny. Wouldn't be against the law.
No.
Right. People go, well, her career would be over. I don't think so.
I feel like it would get even bigger because who wouldn't want her on your show or their show? People be talking about it for as long. I mean, it would be awesome. And I don't think she'd be breaking any laws. All right.
The NFL might be angry. And, of course, her dad was an NFL player.
Yeah, who was her dad?
What's his name? Phil?
Bubba Sparks?
Yeah. Win-win.
I have no idea.
Bubba Sparks is a rapper.
I have no idea who he was.
He played on the New York Giants, I believe.
All right. Good times.
Fitting.
Yeah. That's where she got those guns.
Now, let's talk about the Super Bowl ads. USA Today has printed the ad meter results.
Mm-hmm.
The most popular ad from the Super Bowl yesterday was the Budweiser ad featuring, I know you're probably half in the bag by this time, the Dalmatian who trains the Clydesdale to make the beer wagon team.
I was doing that thing because the room was spinning where I closed one eye. So the room would stop spinning. And I did see little bits and pieces of the Bud. Right? You know, too many animals in these commercials.
Nothing
too many
but dancing
cutesy animals.
And,
yeah, dancing animals and polar bears and stuff like that. I don't like it.
In fact, all of the top ones, the second is FedEx beats giant carrier pigeons.
That was great. They ripped off Adam's pterodactyl idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see that one at all.
Bridgestone. Critters scream with squirrels.
I was
squirrel.
Throwing up at that point, I think.
Giant rat goes for guy's bag of Doritos.
I was having a fist fight on the lawn with one of Jimmy's neighbors. Elderly man.
Men's
woman.
Beer into yes. Wine and cheese party.
I had gotten on the phone and ordered some horse to come over at that point. I was pretty loaded.
Do you remember the one where the scent of nuts makes the unattractive woman alluring for planters?
I called an ex-girlfriend. I was crying in the guest bedroom.
Now, what was happening by the time...
Calling her whore.
Uh-oh. Mm. When the guy's shirt stain was talking, he was at the job interview, but his stain was talking louder than he was for Tide.
I was beating the crap out of my wife and attempting to feel up my daughter at that point.
And by the time the lizards...
I was pretty loaded.
By the time the lizards were dancing with Naomi Campbell...
Mm-hmm.
For Sobe?
I was shouting racial epithets at that point at nobody.
Now,
on
the
lawn.
When the baby was using E-Trade savings to hire a clown,
mm-hmm.
Anything?
I'd gotten into a fight with Jimmy's mailbox at that point. It was, now to be fair, it wasn't just a regular mailbox. It was shaped like a giant frog. And it looked at me cross-eyed, and I threw down.
How about when Shaquille O'Neal tried being a jockey for vitamin water?
I was backing my car over Jimmy's assistant at that point when I was attempting to drive through his living room.
How about the big Pepsi commercial with Justin Timberlake when he sucked into a hazards by a woman sipping Pepsi?
I was calling a female officer sugar teats at that point.
Wow.
And actually screaming about how the Jews control Hollywood.
Uh-oh. Do you remember by the time it was the Gatorade ad for Gatorade is a dog's best friend?
Mm-hmm.
Anything? Do you remember?
I called my dad up and started screaming, die, old man, I hate you. And then I broke down into a heap, and then I started hugging the phone.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about Carlos Mencia when he was trying to teach guys how to pick up girls?
I was raping somebody who was at the party. It was unclear who it was. And, you know, if you're listening, my sincerest apologies.
Do you remember when Will Ferrell did a commercial for Bud Light?
Vomiting into a potted plant.
Okay. That was after the rape.
It was either before, after, or during, and that much I know.
I heard both involved the potted plant.
That's right. Maybe I was raping a ficus plant in Jimmy's guest bedroom and then vomiting into it. That's what I was doing at that point.
A lot of talk about the Sunsilk commercial with icons Madonna, Shakira, and Marilyn Monroe.
Back to screaming about the Jews controlling Hollywood at that point.
I went back
to that. Yeah.
How about the remake of the horsehead scene from Godfather for Audi?
I had decided at that point to try to stow away in the boot of Jimmy's Range Rover and take over his life.
Okay, how about for the Gatorade G2 when Derek Jeter sees a ball field everywhere he goes?
I, at that point, was making fun of Jimmy's assistant who dropped some nachos by holding it up and yelling, my name is Brad, and then I dropped the nachos and then I stomped on them and cried.
Okay. Incredibly lucid memory, by the way.
Yeah. I know. It's amazing.
I was really lit up, but I remember almost everything I did.
Do you remember the Career Builder ad when the woman pulls out her heart?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. I caught a glimpse of that, but I had my back to the TV set, and I was yelling, drink from the horn. I'd found a powder horn that Jimmy had plugged up one side and filled it with Manischewitz.
Well, you know, one of the least popular ads during the whole Super Bowl
was early on. It was during the first half, so maybe you remember it. It was a Doritos commercial featuring a music video for online song contest winner.
I was being tackled down and restrained by most of male guests at the party, and I was screaming, "Let me up, I'll kill you."
Okay, this was one of the least popular commercials, so I don't know if you tuned into it, but it was for GMC Yukon. It was touting their new fuel-efficient hybrid model.
Jeff Conaway and I were doing rails in the bathroom and talking about a sitcom idea that would be a good vehicle for both of us.
You might remember the Icebreakers ad because it featured Carmen Electra. She's pretty. She was wowed by a fan with Icebreakers ice cubes.
I was up on Jimmy's roof with my shirt off yelling, "I'm king of the world."
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was pretty lit. I was pretty drunk.
I'm almost scared to ask.
Hmm.
Dell had a commercial for their red products that go towards AIDS charities.
I had gotten nude, greased myself up with Crisco, and was trying to get a running start and stuff myself into Jimmy's convection oven.
I don't. This might have stuck in your mind because Angelina Jolie was in it. It was a promo for a new movie from Universal. She looked incredible. It was the movie Wanted.
No, I at that point had slapped a pregnant woman's cell phone out of her hands and yelled, "There's no personal calls on Super Bowl Sunday."
So you didn't really see any.
I didn't see any of the commercials. No, I was drunk.
Wow. Well, we don't have a lot to talk about then. I'll play one for you since you missed all of them. This is Will Ferrell. It's a commercial for Bud Light. Mm. And he plays the character that he plays in the movie Semi-Pro. It's apparently about a...
basketball player?
Right.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Oh, hi. I'm Jackie Moon. I drink one beer and one beer only. Bud Light. A magical blend of barley, hops, and delicious alcohol.
Got it. That's... Start the line. Action.
Makes a perfect Valentine's gift for the ladies.
Hot.
A lot of sweat goes into every bottle. Not literally. That would be gross. But you know what I mean.
Hot.
Refreshes the palate. And the loins. Bud Light. Suck one.
Hot.
Bud Light keeps coming.
I vaguely heard it, but I had my back to the TV because I was urinating into some seven-layer dip elderly woman had brought to the party and screaming about how fake Con Air was.
Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm. So I was pretty loaded.
I can see why you're hungover today.
Yeah.
I mean, you missed. I don't know how you managed to catch the game. You know, you seem to have a lot of clarity about the actual game, but you didn't see any of these commercials.
No. No. Three sheets to the wind.
Well, you said there were a lot of luminaries at Jimmy Kimmel's.
There were.
You saw Kathy Griffin.
I did. She brought her Emmy.
She did?
She did.
I love that.
It was mounted on top of the chimney of Jimmy's pizza oven when I walked in.
Wow.
All right. That was Adam at the Super Bowl with Kimmel.
He gets a lot done when he's drunk.
The best stories are what happens at Kimmel's, right?
Yeah. Hopefully not all of these were true.
I'm here in Kentucky with Mike Dawson. He's in the room next to me. We actually were talking about going to Kimmel's house because Dawson has some pretty infamous moments from those visits as well.
Oh, we're going to be playing next week. And you just made me realize we're playing a clip of the calzone that got Dawson banished from Football Sunday. That and not knowing that it was his team's bye week. But I think the calzone was the bigger infraction.
I can't wait. So if you guys want to hear that clip, make sure to subscribe to Corolla Classics so you don't miss any of the clips that we're playing. Especially these radio clips. You can only exclusively hear them on this show right now. But if you want to hear the full podcast clips, the full episodes of each of the clips, where do they go, Gio?
Podcast One Premium, the home of all your favorite podcasts. The entire 10-plus years of the Adam Carolla Show archive can be found there. If there's anything you want to hear that we've played in full, longer clips we've played, the entire episode, if there's anything you want to suggest for us to play, that's where you do it. That's where we get our clips from. It's the only archive for the Adam Carolla Show.
We're done. It's been a great weekend. We'll be back next weekend, so thank you so much again for listening. We'll talk to you Saturday. Till then, my name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
I'm going back to the clip mines, everybody. Mahalo and get it on.